Kingdom greetings. Thank you, Captain, for this prayer. That was good. I liked it. So I've been spending a little more intentional time with the Lord in the past 2 weeks, you know, a change of season. And I've been asking the Lord, you know, I've got a lot of questions. But also he has a lot of answers. So, you know, before I proceed, I'm going to ask all of you, if you could put your phone on do not disturb for maybe the next hour, I would appreciate that. I would really like that. Everything else can wait for 1 hour. So one of the thing the Lord told me this week, this song I'm going to sing for you, I'm going to share with you, is I literally sung that song for 3 days. I had it nonstop. Tuesday, I had it playing here the whole time I was here, in my car, because it is the word of God to me. And I want to share it with you, and I pray that it blesses you. And in one of the questions I had, and the Lord said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient. I mean, it's like, well, duh. I mean, come on, Lord. I know this. So I don't know what you're going through. We don't know what tomorrow is bringing. We don't know what the year is bringing. I don't know what you are going through right now, but he does. And he's inviting you and I to embrace and step into his grace. You know, and I give you these little cards right here. You can make it your 2022 bookmark. 2023, thank you. Bookmark. This is something I'm going to talk about this morning. But this is how the song goes. I was trying to put it on the words on the screen, but it's a prayer. With empty hands and aching heart, Lord, I come to rest at your feet. On my darkest days, in my deepest pain, I know your grace is here for me. Though I'm weary from the journey, in surrender I find peace. Though I walk this path in weakness, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. So take these hands and take my heart. Lord, I choose your will for me. If I share in your suffering, let your power rest on me. Though I'm weary from the journey, in surrender I find peace. Though sufficient for me, you are all I need, all I need. Lord, you're all I need. This is my prayer. You are all I need, all I need. Your grace is sufficient for me. So I pray that you would understand that I cried many tears singing this song this week, just because the grace of God is so, I hope my prayer for each of you this year and for my church is that we would be immersed in God's grace. I love the theme this morning. You know, he turned graves into garden. And this morning right now, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray whatever grave you have in your heart. Believe me, I know we all have graves. I go through days where I feel like I feel death. I feel the weight of ministry, the things that weigh us down, our families, our children, relationships, work. But I know for a fact, and Jana said it, God is good. He'll never fail us. Even as I get ready to share the word of the Lord with you, I just want to offer you a couple, a minute or two, just to allow the Holy Spirit to touch you, heal you, breathe life. That's what he's doing with me. He's bringing life, breathing life. I realize I need more than what I had last year. I need more commitment. I need more determination. I need more devotion. I need more of the power of God in my life this year. More than ever. If I want to be an efficient preacher, a pastor according to God's heart, oh man, I need the Holy Spirit more than ever. I need a kingdom perspective. I need my eyes to focus on him. And you do too. If I want to be a godly husband, a godly father. You know, this is no time to make a New Year resolution. You know, we know they don't last. But I tell you, right now is just a good time to reflect and bathe in the Lord's grace. So just take a minute. Amen. So this is your new 2023 bookmark from me. I think I have it on the screen as well, but let's read it together. Our goal at Restoration Church is to be a loving family that glorifies God through passionate worship, earnest prayer, and sincere fellowship. Through the faithful application of the scripture, effective evangelism, and strong discipleship training, we strive to expand the kingdom of God through the world. So, this is our goal. And I want to keep this in front of us. I thank God for each of you. I thank God for the souls that are going to be coming. I thank God for people that he brought us last year. You know, God brought us some people. But I also thank God that he brought some people came here, but they weren't ready to be discipled. And we bless them. We pray that they find Jesus. We pray that they find salvation in life. But keep this in front of us. Let us keep this in front of us. My goal for this next season, I want us to continue to be a loving family. There are people that are looking for a place to belong. Our church, Restoration Church, is a place to belong. You belong. I belong. I belong to you. You're my family. You are my family. And I hope you know that I am your family. I care about you. If you're looking for accountability, you know, of course we put this out there because there are people that are looking for accountability. You know, family, to do a family life the right way is not easy. Why? Because family, we rub on each other, right? But I can't remember who said it. Maybe Kendra said it while we were talking this week. You can't divorce family. You can't disown family. Who said that? Okay, maybe I heard it somewhere online. You can't disown your family. You know? But the goal of the enemy, the plan of the enemy is to destroy family, to break family. So therefore, he create discord. He create misunderstanding. And then we divorce each other. You know? It's not the will of God to live alone. That's why God created family. And you see what the enemy is doing. The first thing he's gone after, is what? Family, marriage. Breaks marriage, and then you've got a bunch of kids living without, you know. You guys know the story. But here at Restoration Church, I want to put this in front of us. Again, as we reflect on this new year, our goal is to be a loving family. And sometimes you need tough love. So if you have a parent that's just tolerating you, if you have a child, you just, honey, everything is hunky-dory. When you need to discipline them, you don't. You will pay the consequence. And there's no need for me to reaffirm my love for each of you today. You know it. I love you with all my heart. I am passionate about my church. I'm going to love you hard, but I will discipline you hard. And discipline is not good. Discipline is not fun. But it's always for your best. Also, as we reflect on the new year, I am open. I have learned one of the verses I like in the Bible. It's in Proverbs. It says, success is around, sits around many counselors. I don't have a stiff neck. I listen. Especially, you know, I'm open to suggestion. Now, I'm not, when I say no, I take that back. Because when you leave yourself to, when you leave yourself open to for suggestion, that could be very dangerous. But what I meant to say is, I'm open. I can hear. I can listen. So I'm not this guy who never be afraid to talk to me. If you see something you don't like or you don't understand, let's say it that way, you don't understand, come talk to me. Don't run away. Come talk to me. Satan wants us to run away. But come talk to me, and then we'll make it clear for you. And maybe you help me. Because sometimes when you're in error, you think you're right. You need people that can help you understand, hey, this is the way I see it. And I tell you, I've learned a lot by listening to people in my church. Sometimes I thought I had it right, and then I listened to what they said. First, when they said it, I'm like, nah. Then I go home or I'm in the presence of God, I'm reading my Bible, and then the Lord says, yeah, they're right. So then I said, okay, yes, that's right. I accept. In our family, in our church, we want to glorify God. Say passionate worship. So therefore, today, I want to go back to, I know some of you might be thinking, well, what happened to Revelation? We're still in Revelation, okay? So... And do not worry whether I do it in order, but I am just learning a lot from Revelation. So today I'm going to teach you on from Revelation chapter 4. You're talking about passionate worship. What does that look like? Passionate worship. Now remember, worship is not just in the building. True worshipers, someone who understands true worship, they will understand that it doesn't happen in a building. Being aware of the presence of God. And I tell you, one of my prayer for us this year as a congregation is that we would grow in more passionate worship. But what does that look like? So, let's see. Passionate praise. I love watching football or soccer game. I mean, the tournament, the World Cup was amazing. I watched a couple of times. I was here and there are some games I needed to watch. Guess what? I put it on the big screen. It was amazing. I was just here by myself. I think one time I had Pauline and Kendra and some people here doing some work. I just like, man, guess what? I'm not going to go home and I'm going to pause everything. I put the game on both of the screen. I was like, which way to watch? It was amazing. But you guys remember when your team score a goal? You remember the final? The World Cup final? We watch it with all of our family on Sunday morning. The cheers. What does passionate worship looks like? Well, let's let the Bible speak for itself. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, now I want you to, we're not gonna go fast, all right? The voice spoke like a trumpet blast. That's loud. So whatever the voice is saying, it's
out. Are you with me? Okay? What did the voice say? Come up here. Hey, come up. Is that how it went? No. I'm not gonna do it. But you get the message. Come up here! Come up here, man! I mean, with excitement. You know? It's like, come here. What happened? And I will show you what must happen after this. You know, I'm talking about, what does worship look like? Worship in heaven, worship and praise in heaven. Verse 2 says, and instantly I saw, I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstone. I mean, there's no way the naked eye can see. You remember what God told Moses? Moses said, Lord, show me your face. God's like, come on, dude. No one can look at me in the face and survive. But he said, God said, well, since you insist and you really have a desire, I'm going to pass by. I'm going to let you get a glimpse of my shadow. Guys, I want a glimpse of God's shadow. That's what I want. I want his glory to just reflect coming out of my ears, eyes, everywhere. He's shining. John's seeing that revelation. He's seeing it. You know, on this verse right there, if we stay back in the Old Testament, after Moses saw the shadow of God, the Bible says he went down to the people and his face was radiant, brilliant. When I feel down, when my soul is downcast, I need a glimpse of God's glory. And I'll tell you, it works for me. I don't know if it works for you. But when I don't feel desperate enough, you know what I do? I fast. If I don't feel desperate enough, I just fast food. And then, you know, you get to that stage where you're like, you're so hungry. You're like, okay, Lord, just like I'm hungry right now and I feel grumpy or I feel weak, that's how I need you, Lord. My prayer for you this year, that you go up to that mountain and meet God through worship. The enemy doesn't want you to praise. The enemy doesn't want you to worship. As a matter of fact, he tortured some of our mindset. And I'll get on some of those mindset later. But let's go back to this. Verse 3, the one sitting on the throne was brilliant, like as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian, and the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. When I read this week, I tell you, be proud of the rainbow that the world has perverted. I know none of us right now would put a rainbow in the back of your car because you think the world would get the wrong message. But when I read the Bible, I am reminded of God's promise. He'll never destroy the earth through floods. He'll wait for judgment day. And then here, John's having a vision. The one sitting on the throne is surrounded by all colors. Kingdom perspective, brothers and sisters. You know, Satan takes everything that belongs to God and tortures it and make people don't want it. Even praise and worship.
There are some churches who reject praise and worship. You know how sad it is for someone to say, well, if you worship God with drums, you worship the devil. You guys remember that when drums and instrument and guitar start coming to church? Somebody had the bold backbones to be like, you know what? We're going to use God with string instrument. Somebody started reading the Bible and realized that was allowed in the temple. God was okay with it. Everything God created is good. It's men that perverted things. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 4, 24 thrones surrounded him. 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and gold crowns on their heads. Now, this verse right here, we're not going to go into details because there's a lot of studies we could do. And I know there are people that says, well, it's only, there's a lot of stuff out there. All right? That's not where we're at. What we're looking at is the one sitting on the throne is being worshipped. And there was 24 elders. What the 24 elders represented, we're not going to get there, okay? Remember what I told you at the beginning of Revelation? We're not focusing on a lot of the details and stuff. We're going to take what God wants us to learn from this. But it says they were all clothed in white. And for us, we can approach the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus, not by the way we feel. Verse 5. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumble of thunders. That's a scary scene right there. Lightning, thunders. Can you see it with me? And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center, let's keep reading. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes. Now, can you imagine you're looking at someone and everything you see eyes all over? Some of those movies, some movies that comes out, you see they have creatures with like eyes everywhere. They're reading somewhere. Verse 7, the first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. See, right there, there's a lot we can study, because those things, you can't preach them. You can study them for information. Maybe we'll get there, maybe not. But if you would ever be curious, come and see me, call me, or do your own research. But I'm not saying we're not going to go there. For me, that's not where I want to be. This is where I want to be. Verse 8, the last part. Day and night, night and day. Day after day, night after night. They keep saying. What are they saying? Help me out. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, God the Almighty. Don't we have a song like that? Holy, holy, holy. Can you play it on the piano? Oh, hang on. Never mind. Okay. But just imagine. Just imagine, guys. So what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When? Every day, nonstop. So you see what a privilege you and I have to worship the King of Kings.
The Lord of Lords. What a privilege you and I have. As a worship leader, I count it a privilege. What a privilege. Every time I come in the sanctuary, in the presence of God with my instrument or my voice, I'm like, wow, I'm joining the angels. I am joining. God has no problem for worship. As a matter of fact, you remember what Jesus said as he was entering Jerusalem? People were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the one who came in the name of the Lord. And then some of the Pharisees said, well, come on, Jesus, you tell your people to, you know, shut up. Something like that. Jesus says, well, don't you read the Bible? It says in the lips, in the mouth of the little babes, praise will come forth. And if I don't cry out, if you don't sing, guess what? The trees, the rocks will cry out. The birds will sing God's praise. So sing praise. Worship the Lord. Make worship a vital part of your life. What do you listen to? What do you listen to? You don't have to know how to sing. God doesn't care about you carrying a tune. It's us that fuss about that stuff. But God doesn't care, man. He's just looking at your heart, your singing. You know, have you ever seen like someone who can't sing and they think they can sing? And then they're going, I can sing of your love forever. But guess what? Their heart is at the right place. Oh God. Day after day, night after night, they keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, the one who is, and who is still to come. I thank God for the songwriters. I thank God for many people. There's a lot of new age songwritings and stuff. But as a worship leader, we need to understand our worship should never be focused on us. There's a lot of songs that, you know, the lyrics is great. It does its thing. But there's nothing like singing the word of God. Holy, 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 why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Come on, what are you saying? Put your hope in God. Yeah, and then you got Dan on the guitar right here. Oh, God, why so downcast, oh my soul? And you might, well, the moment you're singing that song, you might feel discouraged. But when I sing the word, I'm coming in agreement with God. That's why I'm challenging you. I'm encouraging you. Sing the word. What do you listen to? Do you surround yourself with praise and worship? If you don't, man, I tell you, the worries of life will swallow you. Verse 9. Whenever the living being gives glory and honor and thanks, I want you to underline those three words. They give glory. Glory, glory. I always tell them, I said, let's praise. You know, we want. I mean, it's not just a formula. We do. I know our church back in Sarasota, back in the days, I don't know if they do that. You know, they do two songs, one, and then somebody comes up and then it doesn't have to be two fast songs, two slow songs, and then you don't have to put it in a box. As long as when we come together, we are singing the glory of God, we are honoring God, we are thanking God, it doesn't matter which order. Can I have a witness? Here. Let's look at it. Verse 9. When the living being give, what? I want to hear it louder. Glory. And honor. And what? Thanks to who? That's why I thank God
that we have our priorities straight here. God is in the center of our praise. Jesus is in the center of our worship. No one, I know, and I know them very well now, no one, I am not here to make a name for myself. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. Because when the Son of God, when Father God receive all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor and thanks, I tell you, hearts are changed. And as we move into 2023, I tell you, praise. You don't know how to dance? Well, do this. There is something like that, right? I've seen kids do, right? I can't do it. Elijah, I'm not going to call Elijah, but my kids are not here. I always like, man, how do they do this? There's some kind of, you know, give praise. Give praise. Sing praise. Come on. I challenge you. And I thank God that, I tell you, one thing I really like, it blesses me to see you guys clapping your hands. You know, I see you guys have rhythm. You always had it, but it's like, man, I feel like it's coming bolder. Right? Can't you tell, Dan? Right? Right? They give thanks, honor, and glory to the one sitting on the throne. The one who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders, what? What do they do? Underline that in your Bible. Sometimes I come here, I lay down. I encourage you to do the same thing at home. Lay before the Lord. Fall down before Him. Lay your crowns. Wait on Him. Wait on Him. The 24 elders fall down and do what? Worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, and daily. I like that. You know what? In here, this verse, you know what it means? Everything they possessed, everything that is dear to them, they take it and do what? Lay it at His feet. That's what worship is. That's why, let me remind you, in worship and in praise, even in my studies, okay, in my studies, I do work with my phone, iPad, and computer. I've got emails, pastors, you know, we're talking, meetings, and all that stuff. But I realize one of the worst enemy between me and God in our time is my computer, my phone, and my iPad. So therefore, you know what I do? I turn them off. I still use them, the turn off. I do not disturb. I go to the Wi-Fi. I disable. I do soaking here, okay? But sometimes I don't do it online. Every Tuesday, some of you come and soak in the presence of the Lord. I know some of you, this is the time is very like, doesn't work. But sometimes I don't do it online. I come in here, I feel like Father is like, you know, just you and I. Worship, praise in heaven. What does passionate worship and praise look like? My prayer is that as we read this, you would understand. What passion, you would get it. I'm not here to tell you, oh, this is what it looks like. No. No. Passionate praise doesn't mean like someone is jumping up and down. Passionate worship does not mean, you know, because I know back in the days, this is what people, they had the frame of reference if someone is in worship. They think, well, man, he's really worshiping. Let me tell you, if your heart's not right, if your heart is not in obedience to the word of God, it doesn't matter how much you do this all day long. nothing will happen. But if your heart, but if your heart is right, if you have a heart that's going after God, you say, you know what, no matter what it takes, yes, Lord, to your will. You know, one of the reasons I love the song I sang for you earlier, it says, though I walk through the way, though I am weary from the journey, in surrender I find peace. You're looking for peace? Surrender. In surrender I find peace. And most of the time, if we can't surrender, that's when we lost our peace. You want peace? Surrender, man. You know what gives me peace with the weather? I surrender to it. Can you imagine if I would be fighting this would be like my third year, right? Can you imagine if I would be fighting the weather? I'd be the miserable. I still feel miserable, but I'm not acting miserable. I'm seeing the beauty of the season, in the season. So in surrender, you will find peace. So what do you have to surrender to right now? What are some things that you're just fighting to change when you know it is the will of God? It is your season. What is it? Let me remind you today, you have to surrender. Because in surrender, you will find peace. Though I walk through this path in weakness, but I can cling, right? Hold on tight to your grace, right? Because with Jesus in my boat, guess what? Let it snow, right? With Jesus is my boat, let the storm comes, right? Or Jesus might be sleeping right now, but I might be like, Lord, what's happening? I'm going to drown, Lord. But guess what? I need to be reminded that he is in the boat. Come on, guys. Jesus is in your boat. Look at your neighbor, tell him, Jesus is in your boat. Come on, help me out. You know what that means? He's with you. He is with you. And if you are with him, you shouldn't drown. If you are with him, if you're holding on to him, you're keeping your faith, you shouldn't drown. Many ways you can worship. I'm going to take some time to look at maybe two of them today. As I do my research in the Bible, especially the Psalm, I realize it's very important to take notice on some of the Greek word, Hebrew words of praise and worship. I read from Psalm 108. From the King James Version. It says, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give you praise. Even with my glory, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Psalm 145, verse 2, 3, 4, and 10. You just listen to it. This is what it says. It says, every day I will bless thee. From the King James, I will praise thy name forever and ever. You know, this week I figured, you know what, I'm just going to read from the King James for people who says, well, Pastor, you never read from King James. See how, I don't want to say it's dumb. It's kind of funny. Doesn't matter which version you read. Just apply it in your life. If you're not applying the King James, if you're not obeying the King James, guess what? You're going to hell with the Bible in your hands. It's just like, I say, Satan, I rebuke you. But I'm going to read the King James anyway. And it's good for my English. Look, die. I sit in my office and I'm practicing. Okay, every day I will bless thee. Every day I will bless you, Lord.
The thee means you, Lord.
Okay, I get it now.
Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised.
You know, there are tons of ways you can translate praise and worship. And the first one I want to talk about is yada. You have that one? It's yada. 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 But don't worry about the pronunciation. What does it mean? Yada means to show reverence or praise with extending hands. So, for example, Psalm 90 verse 1. It says, I will worship. The word that translates worship is yada. So when you see, that's why when you don't study the word, somebody says, well, I grew up Catholic, I don't raise my hand. Well, there is a lot of revelation you're missing yet. Because when you study worship according to God's word, and you go back to the Hebrews, I know a couple pastors in our network in Haiti, they're studying Hebrews, and last year they wanted me to go study. I actually, you know, started looking into it. I'm like, man, I can barely speak Creole and English, and then now I'm going to go back to some of the Hebrew words that are very important when it comes to explaining the Bible. For example, worship. Why do we raise our hands? It doesn't matter anymore if you didn't grow up raising up your hands in church. Let me tell you this morning, part of praising God and worshiping God is yada. Yada. Surrender. Huh? Surrender. I will worship you, Yahweh. The word worship is yada. With what? As a matter of fact, I think it explained it in the Passion Version. It says, with extending hands. I will worship you, Lord, with extending hands. So there you go. Extend your hands. You don't look weird. As a matter of fact, if people think you look weird, let me look weird to my God. Let me look weird. Extending hand. Hey, Jesus. Extend. I mean, you don't have to extend your hand like this. You could extend them like that. You see, when we put this in a box, you think, well, you have to do this or you have to do that. It doesn't matter. Extend your hand like this. The key is to extend your worship. Yada. I will worship you, Yahweh, with extended hands as my whole heart. As my whole heart erupts with praise. I will tell everyone, everywhere, about your wonders, wonderful works. Yada, express praise, show with hands lifted. So therefore, to worship God in the yada way, it means you have to do something. Now please. If you come to church, you feel like, well, you want to worship God with your, like that, well, go for it. It's between you and Him. But I'm just telling you, there's one verse in the Bible that says, the Lord come and inhabit the praises of His people. The word praise, in that word praise, there are different Greek word that translated, and one of them, yada, is in it. But I think there is another one we'll look at later. It says, the praises God come and inhabit, sits on, is the praise when the people come and they're having fun. They're having fun, you know? You're just like, yes, I know, you have fun. We sing, what song did we sing? A couple songs this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, you know, disperse. How do you disperse the spirit of heaviness or display or get rid of it? With praise. Hands lifted. Hands extended. So Restoration Church, extend your hands.
Oh, I don't feel comfortable.
Okay, you deal with it. But I'm just telling you, your Father in heaven takes pleasure. You're not lifting up your hands for me. I really don't care. Come and lay down. I don't care. I'm so happy you're here. Does it matter you're sitting down, you know, rolling over, whatever, you standing? Do it. Whatever you got to do. But this is what the Word says. God, come and inhabit the praises of His people. You extend your hands in your car. Get people thinking. Let them think you're weird. You know, let the presence of God fill the car. Fill the car so you can, I don't know if you have ever experienced that. You know, you're with God and that song He's giving you. What is the Word He's giving you right now? You know, what is it telling you right now? As you walk every day with the Lord, you should be able to tell what He's doing in your life. If you come and ask me, Pastor, what is God doing in your life? Oh, you better be ready. You better be ready. He's rebuking me. He's changing me. He's encouraging me. He's growing me. I have it. He's teaching me. I know it's, I know the Word in the Bible. I'm reading. I know, even songs. I go through season as a worship leader. I have songs. Yada. The opposite of yada means, once again, to sit on your hands. That's what it means. You come and worship God, you just sit on your hands. Remember, back in the days, even certain religion, they wanted people to think the priest or the pastor is the one that goes to God for you. So I go to God for you. That's what it used to be. I mean, they get people to think. That's not the gospel. It's not the kingdom. We all have direct access through Father God, through the blood of Jesus. From the fivefold ministry gifts, you have apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. So God called me to be a pastor. So therefore, I teach, of course. He gives me a burden for the sheep. You guys are God's sheep. You guys are His people. But that doesn't mean I'm closer to God than you. Uh-uh. Don't let anybody think. Never let anybody think, make you think so. You can have the same relationship I have with Jesus. And that's why I am asking you to do that. Can you imagine if you have a church with 50 people and 50 people on fire for Jesus? 50 people who wants the Word? I tell you, that church, like prayer, 12, mark your calendar. The captain said it. Mark your calendar. We come together once a month to pray. Once a month to pray. You don't want to come. I want this 2023, I want everybody as much as possible. You know, sometimes you can't come. I get it. You're traveling or, you know. Some of us can't drive at night. I get it. But I'm saying, let's come together and pray and worship the Lord. Psalm 63, verse 4. It says, thus I will bless the Lord with my life. The word bless right there is yada. I will bless the Lord with my hands lifted. Psalm 64, actually other references. There's a lot of other references. Maybe you can write them down. Psalm 134, verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary of and praise the Lord. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Yada. Psalm 141, verse 2, it says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. There's a verse in the New Testament. I didn't read it. I don't remember where it's at, but in the New Testament, it says, Paul says, I want every man or woman lifting up their hands before the Lord. I want you to lift up holy hands. You know what that means? So as you worship God, as you lift up your hands, make sure you're living a holy life. Because God and sin doesn't go together. Now there's a nice story. I'm going to finish with it. And then next week we'll continue. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Now that's in the Old Testament. I'm just going to relate the story to you very, very fast. But praise. I think it's this passage right there from Revelation. It's just to remind us, hey, God, he loves our praise. He doesn't need it. War with surrounding nations. Now, this is something for you. This is a good story. Second Chronicles. It says, after this, the armies of the Moabite, Ammonites, and some of Munites, forgive if I don't say them right, declared war to Jehoshaphat. Messenger came and told Jehoshaphat, how do you say that? Jehoshaphat. So I was right. A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar. This was another name for Engedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. Now I want you to picture this. Here's the king, the king Jehoshaphat got news that Moabites, Ammonites, Munites, three nations declaring war. Three nations. So the king got panicked. So he's calling out. It's like he's begging the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judea to begin fasting. So people from all the town of Judea came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. So the king Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judea and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard of at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord God of our ancestors, you alone are God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all kingdom of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. That's his prayer. Verse 7, O our God, did you not drive out those who live in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friends Abraham? Verse 8, your people settle here and build this temple to honor your name. Verse 9 says, they said, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now, verse 10, see what the armies, what a great prayer. I encourage you to pray this, read this at home this week. And he's going on, verse 10, it's like, see the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let your ancestor invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now, see how they reward us? For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you give us as an inheritance. Oh God, won't you stop them? What a prayer. Won't you stop my enemies? Three nations coming at you. So, long story short, then, and all the men
He called. This is what he said. As all the men of Judea stood before the Lord with who? Little ones, wives, and children. The Spirit of the Lord come upon one of the men standing there. His name was Zahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benya, son of Jeiel, son of Matania. I love this. It says a Levite. When you study the Old Testament, a Levite is someone God set apart to praise, to minister in his temple. Verse 15, he said, listen, all you people of Judea and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord said. Do not be afraid. Why? Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is the Lord, your God. Tomorrow. This is the word of the Lord. Can you imagine this guy? Hang on, give me a minute. I thought I was gonna done right here. Can you imagine? I want you to see this. Can you imagine this king facing three nations coming at him to destroy the Israelites? And then God, a prophet, stood up saying, hey, okay, king, you don't have to be afraid, because this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. So tomorrow, this is what I want you to do. Get Din. Get Ricardo. Find Kendra. Becky. We need the drummer. Get Sandra with the flags. And bring everybody, and then get them to start singing. Now hang on right here. Can you imagine receiving the word of the Lord for such a situation? Unless you really believe, unless the people trust you hear from the Lord, people are going to start protesting. They're going to be like, this guy is dumb. We've got three nations, tons of armies, guys with big guns, with, you know, what they call those? Swords. With swords. And then he wants us to sing. He wants us to lift up our hands. He wants us to pray. This guy is nuts. That's what's happening here in this chapter. Now you go home and read the rest and see what happened. God, give them the victory. Why? Because in the middle of praise, that's when you find victory. The enemy doesn't want you to praise God. The enemy doesn't want you to worship in spirit and in truth. The enemy doesn't want you to take delight in the Lord. I'm talking about take delight in the Lord. See, as we step into the new year, I want us to enter a new season of praise. I want you to, I keep saying, blow the box, but really, I am saying, think outside the box. You know, I'm not asking you to start jumping up and down. That's not what I'm saying. But I declare and decree another level of freedom in your life. Starting right now. In your life. Starting right now. As you go home, you have a deep hunger to create at home an atmosphere of worship. If you used to do it, keep it up. What do you listen to? You know, so this is it. This is just the introduction. No, not really. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, that you've given us truth, the Bible, to teach us and correct us. Lord, we pray that you'd forgive us for all the times that we've resisted to just express our love in worship and praise. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. I ask, Lord, that you would give them a heart to continue to receive. Lord, I bless them this new year. I declare a new level in praise, a new level in intimacy and worship. And as that happens,
they will continue to experience the power of God in their life. In Jesus' name.